Okay. Good morning, everybody. We're back to Hilchos Shabbos with halachas that pertain to various fixes and repairs that might be to be done in the home. I just want to fill in something we left off from last week. And if I mentioned it, so if I just want to fill it in so you don't have a hole, we spoke about heating and we spoke about using your heater to heat up your food. So we said that putting food onto a heater, a radiator or whatever source of heat it is, would be also if bishul is involved. Therefore, you have to treat it like any other source of heat that can act on your food, which means that if your food can get to yaitzeh lettuce boy, then it can pass a stage of being cooked, and therefore it would be also to place your food on such a heater on Shabbos. But another thing to keep in mind is if you put it there on Erev Shabbos, okay, so then you've done the Erev Shabbos and you can take it off of Shabbos and all the rest. But if the pot was wrapped before you put it on the pot was wrapped while it was on the heater, even if you did an Erev Shabbos, you have a problem. Because we know that Hatmona is only mutter if it's bedavar she'eino moisi tevel. If you wrapped it in something where there's no added heat into the equation. But Hatmona bedavar she'moisi tevel, which in the olden days was you submerged your pot into a pile of ash, which still had burning embers inside it. But we say there would be anything. It could even be some material that is endothermic and gives off heat while it is wet or something like that. We talk about wool that is wet with certain types of sands. Various things that would give off heat, even if it's very slight, like compost. When it ferments and turns into compost, it actually gives up a small amount of heat, is considered as davar moisef hevel. So if you have kosher came on the heater, so if you have a pot that is wrapped and it's on the heater, you have to know that you cannot leave it there even from Erev Shabbos, because hatmona the davar moisef hevel, to do hatmona when there's a system where heat is being added to it, is also even afilu mibayim, even if you left it on from before Shabbos. And therefore, if you have a heater and you want to use it to keep your food warm, make sure that A, you put it there before Shabbos, and B, it is not wrapped. Okay, that was just, I don't think I mentioned that last week, we ran out of time, so just filled it in. Now we'll get to this week. Hello, this week's fixing and broken things in the house and what can you do? So, number one we'll mention is that where doors, windows that are connected to the house or connected to any large utensil, is considered mechubar, considered joined, and by removing it, it will be a problem of soisa, it will be a problem of destruction, which is also, you have boina, you have soisa, you have building and destroying, the soisa is also on Shabbos. Why do I say a large vessel? Because if a kli, if a utensil is small, then the lid or door or whatever it is of the utensil gets the same din as that utensil. We say, dalsus akelim, nitlim imohim, which means that just like the utensil itself is not moved, just so the lid is not. But when you're dealing with mechubar, so when you've got a door that's connected to your house and you take it off, so then you've done so you've removed something that's part of your house. There's a separate din that a utensil that can contain the volume of a boim so, which is the minimum volume for the kashrus of a mikveh, which is defined in halacha as the volume of 3 square amas, which translates liberally to about 400 liters, which would mean that an average fridge freezer that we have is big enough to be considered to contain our boim so, because fridge freezers that we have in our homes are 500 and plus. So such a utensil gets a din of, mechubar lekarka, even though essentially it's movable, it might even be on wheels, it doesn't make a difference. When something is so large, so the halacha, we say that it's as if it is fixed in place, and therefore you treat it as if it was a permanent structure, and therefore removing something from it would be a problem of size. Just like taking off the door from your door frame of your home would be also on Shabbos, so too taking a door off a large utensil, whether it was a closet, a cupboard, a fridge, or something like that, would also be a problem of soiser on Shabbos. If the door came off on its own, for whatever reason, somehow it's broken, came off, the door is considered now mukta, even though on Shabbos You can open and close your doors for so long as they're connected to the house. They're the status of mukta. But once they've come off, they are considered mukta. You may not move them, and for sure you may not put them back again, because that would be boine. So too, part of the door. That means that if you have a handle of a door, which is normally affixed in place and stays there, now fell out. So that's, first of all, you can't take it off purposely. And even if it fell out, it's mukta and cannot be put back. However, if you have a handle that the way it's used, you have a door where the way it's used is you put the handle on and open it, and then you take the handle off and put it away, either because this is the way it was manufactured, or because no one ever tightened the screw, and therefore in your house that's just the way it is. It's always on and off and on and off and on and off. And this is a regular occurrence, so therefore it's not considered a boiner. This is considered regular usage. Obviously, you can't put it on in Shabbos and tighten the screw. That will be now affixing it in place. It will be a problem of boiner. But if until now it's been used by putting it on and then it comes off, and putting it on and comes off, and it's always loose, so then Tachet would be able to use on Shabbos, because you're not doing it in a permanent way, which boiner is supposed to require that there's permanence involved. There's an interesting Eitzah that Shmuel Shabbos brings, that if your handle fell off your door, in that type of door where the handle was not loose and always falling off and always being put back, but rather it was considered mechuba to the door. Now you have a door without a handle, so how are you going to open your doors? You can't put the handle back on Shabbos. You said that would be a problem of boiner, yeah? And the handle itself is mukta, and it is a type of mukta that is mukta machmas atzmai, like Eitzim Vavonim. Therefore, you cannot even move the handle to Gufa Makomek, or if you need it or its place. Nevertheless, you can take a different item in order to open the door. Now, one way is, I can tell you that I've done this, a Rav Briach key happens to be wide enough, and narrow enough and wide enough. It's narrow enough that it fits into the hole, and wide enough that it doesn't just slip. It actually grips onto the sides of the bolt on the inside. You can actually use a Rav Briach key inside a door handle slot in order to open it. But if you don't have one of those available, you can use a screwdriver. Why? Because, as we've always said, a kli shemnastel isur, a utensil which its in purpose is to do an isur on Shabbos, is mukta, but it's only mukta in as much as you can't use it for itself or to protect it, but to use it for something else, which is mutter on Shabbos. Sorry, gufa mekaymai, you're allowed to take it. So if you have such a door that the handle fell out, so you can go get a screwdriver and use that to open the door. If you have shutters in your house that broke or came out of their tracks, whether it's the roll-up shutters or whether it's the sliding ones, once they have cut, first of all, obviously you can't take them out of the tracks, and once they come out of the tracks, they're considered mukta, and you may not fix them on Shabbos. And so too, the tris box that is above the window where the rolled-up tris sits is also awesome to open on Shabbos, because that is not, even though it is designed in a way that is very easy to open, you don't have a screwdriver, you don't need to break anything, but since it is expected to remain permanently closed until the next time it breaks, that is hopefully a long time and not a short time, so therefore taking apart the way that it closes and then opening it up would actually be a problem of soiser, because there's some permanent. If there's a chashash, you're worried that whatever has broken is now leaning in a way that it can fall and hurt someone, so then the rule is, as we've always said, that mukta doesn't apply in a case of damage, a case of hezek. Therefore, like we know very often, if a glass drops and now the floor is covered with broken glass, so although broken glass is mukta, but we don't want anybody to step on it and be hurt, so you can sweep it up. So too, if you have a tris that broke and is now sitting in a very precarious position and there's a possibility of it causing damage to someone, hurting someone, so then you're allowed to move it out of the way or put it into a place where it will not hurt anybody. But obviously, as we've said previously, that when you move something because of hezek, you should try to do tilta min atzad and not to do direct moving, which means that you should try push it with something else and not hold it with your own hands. If a window is loose and needs a reapplication of the glue or the putty that holds it in place, there would be two isurim involved. One is that it needs to be smoothed out, so there will be a mareach, and the other one is even just the application itself that causes the window to stay in place. even if you use the material that did not need to be smoothed out afterwards, would also be asur because the problem of boine. If a window smashed, so as we said, broken glass is a danger, so it can be swept up, and the remaining glass pieces that are left in the window frame are mukta and may not be removed, we may not pull them out and get rid of them. If there is a danger, so then it depends on the danger. If you have a house, if you don't expect any more to fall, it's pretty much those that are loose have fallen. And now you have a house where you have adults where they know pretty much what they're doing. You just tell them, stay away from the window and finish. So then you may not do anything. But if you're dealing with a situation where there's children or more pieces might fall out, or it's in a place where a lot of people pass and therefore it's very hard to warn every single person, you know, don't get too close, don't lean over, so public danger. So then again, it is mukta in a situation of danger, and a mukta in a situation of danger, we will say that you can do what is necessary in order to remove the danger. So if necessary, you can remove the loose pieces and then sweep them away. But again, we try not to move mukta directly if we can avoid it, even though over here because of hezek, and therefore we try, number one, either to ask a goy, and if there's no goy available, so then do it kila achayad, use a your foot or an elbow or something like that, and not use your fingers. If you have a broken window, obviously you cannot have it fixed in Shabbos, but you can't place anything into the window frame either in order to fix it, even if it's on a temporary basis, like taking a wooden board, you cannot place over there, or a piece of cardboard, you cannot place it there because you mevatel it to the binyan. You now want it to stay in its place, and therefore it's considered a boine, but you can spread out a garment. And the idea is, because a garment, as soon as you have a replacement, you're going to take the garment and put it back into your cupboard and use it. So if it's that type of garment that you're not going to leave there, so then it's not bottled in its place, and therefore boine. Obviously, if you're putting a garment there, it has to be somewhere that you hang it up where you're not sticking it or putting in thumbtacks or glue or nails or something like that, because all those things now sticking it to the frame, which is part of the building, and that would be a problem with boine. If you have some way of hanging it over, so that would be fine, but attaching it would be problematic. Therefore, I understand from that to hang up a plastic sheet, like we got to have a plastic tablecloth, L'chor would also be asked just like a board, because the plastic tablecloth, you are going to be battle there. So even if you're not going to stick it with glue or sellotape or anything like that, but just hanging it over the window would be a problem in the battle then not put it as part of the building. Another halacha that has to do with windows, this happens in the winter, it is raining outside, and you now have condensation that gathers on the window, which is a lot of fun for the children. They love drawing shapes and sizes and drawings and writing their name and other people's names and all sorts of things on the windows. So although this is not permanent, good question. Can you use a bed sheet to cover the window? I would say yes, because the bed sheet you're not mevatel to the window as soon as the Shabbos is over and you have what else to use. You go to the back where it belongs. The ikka seems to be over here. What is the future of this item to be bottled to the house? Or is it something that you need back to it? So it's, if you have condensation on the window, so although ksiva on Shabbos essentially is when you write and it's permanent writing, but chazal asad even something which is not permanent. So ksiva she'en miskayim, writing which has no permanence is also asur, mid-rabbanan, but it's asur. And therefore, if you go for a walk on the beach, you can't purposely make shapes or write in sand. And so too, on the window, when you have condensation, you may not write in the condensation. Blood up the window. It's also when you bring the bottle of soda to the table. It's a humid day and the soda just came out of the fridge. You're going to see condensation on that bottle. There's no, you can't scribble on the bottle, even though it has no permanence. So too, if someone did write on the window Friday afternoon and decided to write in the window, you can't now go take a cloth and wipe it and dry the window up. You can do much, even though it would disappear by itself as soon as the humidity drops. Nevertheless, it's even when it is not permanent, chazal asad, and therefore writing or erasing would be also even non-permanent writing. If you have a door that squeaks. So interesting that Shmuel Shabbos doesn't bring Malka for this. He says it purely out of Svara. If you have a door that squeaks, you can't put oil on the hinges. He says it's considered like tikkun mana, which means like fixing something that is broken, because you're now stopping the squeak, because you may not oil it. Putting in a nail, thumbtack, or anything like that into the wall on Shabbos is asur. Whether it is, so too, not only a nail or a thumbtack, but also a glue, or double-sided tape, or something like that, and even a suction cup. If you have one of these hooks that you want to put up in your kitchen that's based on a suction cup, then by attaching it to the wall, now what's going to hold there would be asur. However, in the case of a suction cup, you can add in, again, this is going to be something which is going to come up again and again, as how long do you leave it there? If it's something that you put up and you take down, you put up and you take down, and then left after that falls down. You have these good ones that actually can stay for a long time. But rather, your way you work with it is that it's up and down and up and down. So then that would be a non-permanent fixing, and that would not be considered as boy net. But if it's something you have, you know, you have your towels in the kitchen, and the way you hang them up is you put a suction cup and you put it up there, and shomtek horasa, you want it to stay there forever. It happens to be that suction cups are not permanent, and 6 months later it's going to fall. But your purpose is that you want it to stay. Therefore, there would be also to attach it. So if that 6 months came to an end on Shabbos and fell, you cannot reattach it on Shabbos. Wait till after Shabbos. If you have a hook in the wall, one thing, and just like you can't put any of these things up, you cannot take any of them down. You cannot take a nail out the wall. You can't take unstick something which is stuck, and you can't undo a suction cup that was put up permanently. But you can't take down anything that was put up permanently, just like you can't put them up, you can't take them down. We'll see in whatever. If it's not permanent, we'll get to that in a moment. There's another discussion. If you have a hook already in the wall and you want to hang something on the hook, so the question, there's a machlokes over which you have to deal with it. If it's something you're going to hang up for a long term, some say that there's no problem whatsoever because the hook is there and you're just putting something on the hook. Others say that if you're going to hang up like a picture, so since there's a certain permanence, there's an ayin mevachel with a picture to the wall, so there's a tzad to be machmir. We're going to see this will come up in a more practical case in a moment, and that is if you have, like is in the shul. Shul has a place where they hang up reminders for people. Today is Rosh Chodesh, say Yalla V'Yovel. Today's we start saying Saint Talamotar or Mashiv HaRuach or something like that, so or the next parsha. There's various signs that they hang up in the shul to remind the misparalim what they need to say in davening. And can you change these signs on Shabbos? So if everything has been set up from beforehand, how then you just have to slide it in or hang it on. So essentially we're going to say that there's no problem to put them in and take them out. It's more of a question when you have long-term ones. So the Shmir Shabbos says that even something like Mashiv HaRuach, which will stay there the whole winter, or something like that, or the same time of Mothi Devracha, which is going to be staying for a long season. Essentially, it's put there to take down. You can slide it into its grooves or hang it up on its hook or whatever the case may be, can be done on Shabbos. But if it's something that's a little bit more permanent, someone donated something, now you hang up a sign that this has been donated by so-and-so, which essentially wants to stay forever. So even if you're not putting the nail in on Shabbos and you're not using glue or anything like that, you're just hanging it on the hook. So then it will depend on what we said before about a picture. To hang a picture on a hook, we said it was a machlokes, Chazanish is machmir, and others are meko. So therefore, the same way you would have a machlokes over there, you'll have a machlokes over here. To put up a notice on the notice board is also a problematic on Shabbos, whether you use a thumbtack, a drawing pin, glue, sellotape, staples, whatever it is, it will be asked to put up, and same way will be asked to take down after it's been put up, even if it was put up before Shabbos. Magnets, again, depend on their use. Magnets that are placed permanently in a place would be, even though the adhesion of the magnet to the surface is not something that's permanent, it's not like glue and you have to break it and go apart. A magnet is made, you put it on and take it off, you put it on and take it off. But it can be left permanently. It's not that something wear out. Therefore, placing a magnet depends on how you use it. If it's something that you always changing, this, you have something in the fridge and you're always changing it. You know, every week your child comes home from school with another picture, so every week you take off last week, you put another one. So then all the time, it's on and off, on and off. Something where you've placed as permanence, you've got a souvenir that you brought back from your trip abroad, and now you have it decorating your freezer door. So you put it there with the idea that I put it there and I'm going to leave it there. It's still paste up when it gets taken off and you wipe your freezer down. But essentially, you're putting it there to leave it there. So say even a magnet, which is not a permanent adhesion, nevertheless, it will be awesome to put it up on Travis. If you have a seat of a chair that is loose, either because it's designed that way or because the screws have come out, you can take it off and put it back. Obviously, you cannot put it back in a way that becomes permanent by adjusting the screws and putting the catches or whatever it is. But if it's just to put on and take off and put on and take off, so the putting on and the taking off is permitted if that's the normal use. A high chair that gets folded, or any other type of folding chair, if that's the normal way to use it, you can open and close and put them up and take them down. So too, if it has a tray on it, you can put the tray on and take the tray off. In a stroller, when there's additions to the stroller, like you have some sort of tray or some sort of bar that is put in front of the child, again, if it is in regular usage that you open and close it, then the Travis also you can open and close it. But here we added a little another detail in that it should be made to be done easily. You know, you press a button and it comes out, press a button and it comes in. It's not like there's a hole. You need to get a screwdriver and unscrew it and attach it. So even if you're the type of person that attaches and detaches on a regular basis, but if there's a lot of effort involved and it's complicated, then it should not be done on Travis. People have adjustable stenders that can, the height and the angles can be adjusted. Rav Neuwirth is of the opinion that there is no problem to adjust these Travis. Something that's done regularly, you can open up either screws and it gets tightened. Nevertheless, you can open and close it to adjust the height. So too, this is the same thing. If you have an office chair that with hydraulic, you can pull a lever and it will raise the chair or lower the chair accordingly. As long as there's no electronic mechanism inside, it's purely mechanical, it can be done on Shabbos. There are those who hold that when it's more permanent, someone who doesn't usually adjust the extender, he's now set it to a fixed size and leaves it that way. Once in a while, maybe he'll change his mind, but if it's more permanent, then the actual opening and closing of the screw would be a problem on Shabbos. Too late, and the pastor will have to deal with it. As I said, nobody's natural when it comes to standards. If you have rubber feet or plastic feet that you have on the bottom of your chair so that it doesn't scratch the floor and make a lot of noise, putting those on or taking those off is a form of permanence and therefore would be awesome even if it fell off. Nevertheless, you can't put it back because essentially you're putting it back for a permanent situation. And one more halacha that we have on the subject that we'll hold with it for today is if you have recently poured concrete. Anybody who's had shibutzim done and has concrete poured knows that concrete has to be watered. It sounds strange, but concrete hardens as a chemical reaction between concrete, cement, and the water, and the water actually helps it to harden. So it's not that if you add water, it's going to stay soft forever. No, well, concrete can set even under water. The problem is that when it sets, it shrinks and can crack. And therefore, concrete needs to be kept wet. So after concrete is poured, for the next couple of days, it is watered. Spray it with water in order to allow it to harden without cracking. The watering of the concrete on Shabbos is asur. It's part of the process of boiner, and therefore, Neuwirth writes over here as a footnote, he says, therefore, if you're going to have concrete poured, don't have it done on a Thursday or a Friday and get into problems with Shabbos, and therefore try and get it done early in the week. It actually happened by me once that we had some shippers in the building and they did pour the concrete. Remember if it was Shabbos or Yom Tov or something, but it was before one of the days when we couldn't water a solution at break. So I connected a hose to my watering system, which was set before Shabbos, and then I let the water come. Spray on it, according to finances, to hope I was right about it, because I don't think it would be a problem of option meal, so that it makes noise. The sprinklers is a discussion. A lot of people make Travis. I relied on that, but without that, one may not water concrete in Travis. With that, I end today's share. Wish everybody a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.